Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY. I'm Charles James. My guest tonight is an adventurer who is planning a journey to travel in the outer reaches of Great Britain to recreate ancient recipes of ale. Chris Bowen researches and recreates historic beers, winning a gold medal in 2014 at the Great American Beer Festival in Denver, a gold medal in 2012 at the World Beer Championships in Chicago, and a bronze medal in 2011 at the Great American Beer Festival. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
Thanks, Charles, and thank you to WDIY.
Just as you are beginning a three-year project for another beer history adventure over in Great Britain, you're releasing a feature documentary on your recent, well, not so much recent, but your journey to the Canadian Arctic that you and two other motorcyclists made back in 2010 to brew an historic beer, Arctic Alchemy. And before we learn about your upcoming adventure in Great Britain, Sagas of the Iron Horn, tell us about the release of the film Arctic Alchemy.
Sure. Arctic Alchemy was a story that I had come up with starting in about 2007, just after I won a gold medal in 2007 as well with a local brewer, the Bethlehem Brewworks. You know, I'm a researcher of old stories and old beers and different things. I was collecting an old beer at the time and searching on eBay and just trying to add to my collection. Saw an interesting bottle in 2007. It's a whole nother story, but the beer, you know, went for sale for a couple $100,000. And, you know, I knew that just looking at it, there was a deeper story there. And, researched it and decided to make a film on it. And it was an Allsop's Arctic Ale brewed by the Queen Victoria to go through the Northwest Passage of Canada. You know, a fascinating beer, 12% alcohol, and decided to make a film about it. You know, that's what I did. It just was the feature premiere at the Southside Film Festival. It's been a five-year work.
And that first came about through this discovery of that beer back in 2007. And as a beer historian, that's what you do. You go out and find out about old recipes. But somehow something took you to that journey. And there's always seems to be some impetus to how you get to where you are.
Right. Well, the story of Sagas of the Iron Horn, which is a story about Viking brewing and the Viking techniques, generally from the 8th to 11th century, was actually born during the research for Arctic Alchemy, which was a research on the Arctic and whatnot. I discovered that, you know, Leif Erikson came and built a settlement in on the Gulf of St. Lawrence, a little place called L'Anse des Meadows, which is about 1000 A.D., where they, had discovered North America. I know the history doesn't always align with that in the textbooks, but that's how I came to it. What I did was I discovered it, and it was such a fascinating story that I said, okay, I'm researching this Arctic beer, but this is an interesting story. I'm going to put it on the shelf, and I'm going to come back to it later, and that's exactly what I did.
So this one goes back to even further, much longer ago in the way the beer was made. Mm-hmm. And no one really that I'm aware of is familiar with what the Vikings did with beer. It's not like they made, forged a large history and reputation for beer making.
Yeah, not so much in the U.S. A little bit, of course, in Britain and most specifically in Scotland and the islands to the north, Orkney and Shetland, where I call it the Viking highway, you know, from Scandinavia to northern Scotland, where they, you know, had built breweries and ran some, you know, raids of pillage and splendor and just, you know, made their mark on history, all the way to Greenland and then eventually to northern Canada. So, it seemed like a logical expression of beer history for me. Like I said, discovered it before, put it on the shelf, and now I'm now have time with the release of Arctic Alchemy to explore that in a more full and comprehensive way.
So with this new adventure, you'll be traveling to different places in rural Great Britain.
Yeah, the journey starts out. I decided, a couple years ago when I did Arctic Alchemy, is that I want people to experience jumping on the back of a motorcycle, jumping on the back with me, and showing them something unique and different. And it just happens to be a beer history story, whether it's in the Arctic or now in Scotland. And I've got plans for another beer history that I've been doing in Romania and Latvia and in middle Europe. But yeah, jump on the back of the motorcycle and listen to and discover together these stories of old. And you know, I think it's a fascinating way to tell the tale of some of these old stories.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Arctic Alchemy, also motorcycle journey, mm-hmm. and it was gargantuan in number of miles. How many miles did you cover on that journey?
Well, we left from Bethlehem and drove to the edge of the Hudson Bay, James Bay. It's kind of hard to define, but approximately almost 4,000 miles. So it's not an around the world adventure, but you know, certainly significant in the number of miles. The Sagas of the Iron Horn will be more or less a one-way journey. We're not you know, traveling to and from home, but approximately about 2,500 miles to the very bottom of England, where there was an archaeological dig and discoveries of Viking bodies, all the way to the top of Scotland, mainland Scotland, and then a short ferry across to the Orkney Islands, then on to Shetland, and our ultimate goal is the Faroe Islands, which are out in the you know, in the North Atlantic, which was, like I said, part of what I call the Viking Highway.
I mean, they're both exotic journeys. Why was the choice of vehicle and motorcycle?
I don't know. I've been a longtime fan of motorcycles. The things that you experience on a motorcycle are different from what you can discover, you know, in a car or, you know, in any other mode of transportation. Bicycles, very similar. I just happened to choose motorcycles. Being a beer historian, being a bit of a liquid time traveler, if you will. If you remember the Back to the Future movie in the 80s, they jumped into DeLorean and punched in the number and they were going to be transported back. Kind of the same thing, except that my DeLorean of choice is, you know, a BMW motorcycle. And you get to see and experience and smell all the smells, and you're, you know, just experiencing life in a little bit different, more raw experience. And I think that it's a good medium to tell a story in.
I'm Charles James, your host here for Lehigh Valley Art Salon this evening on WDIY, talking with beer historian Chris Bowen, who is talking about Sagas of the Iron Horn, his next journey planning for next year. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
So with that journey coming about, you'll be going to some rural areas also, probably a lot greener than I imagine where you were in Canada.
Certainly. Yeah. You know, I've spent a lot of time in the UK, you know, from England to Wales. My family heritage comes from Wales, so it's a sort of return home. We're actually going to throw in a little bit of mountaineering along the adventure. You know, primarily it's a motorcycle journey, but we also have plans to climb Mount Snowdon, which is one of the areas that Sir Edmund Hillary had trained with Tenzing to conquer Mount Everest in 1954. I had climbed it before, but we're going to climb it on this and do some ridge walking, which is kind of exciting. Not technical climbing, but certainly part of an adventure. And then make our way into Scotland. We're going to brew some beers, some historical beers with some local breweries in Scotland. Williams Brothers is a brewer in right outside of Edinburgh in a little town called Alloa. They make historic ales of Scotland. Several of the styles of beers that we're going to make are very similar to what they're making today. And then all the way up to John O'Groats, which is the top of mainland Scotland. Across the Firth of the Pentland Firth, which is the waterway between northern Scotland and Orkney, and then onto Shetland, so going to take in a lot of different sites and locations.
You have a little bit of change in crew this time around,
mm-hmm.
coming up, and perhaps you could talk about one of the people that was involved with the film, who's now going to be part of this journey.
Yeah, well, in 2007, when I originally watched that eBay bottle, you know, go for sale for so much money, and that whole story that led me to Arctic Alchemy, it turns out that the guy that had the bottle at the time had been sort of following me you know, undercover. He hadn't reached out to me, you know, by email or telephone or tried to contact me, but because several of the projects that I was working on, you know, had some public attention, he was kind of following the journey along with me and sat in the wings, so to speak, for a long time. And last year, he actually reached out to me and said, you know, hey, I've been following you all this time, and I love what you're doing, and let's meet over a beer. And so he actually came. He lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. His name is Dan Woodall, international sort of businessman. He's a venture capitalist. He's also a military historian. So he has a deep love of history. It turns out we look alike. We act alike. And my wife says we're brothers from another mother. So when I had told him that, you know, all this Arctic alchemy stuff is going on and this research, I said that I've been researching another story. He was the first one to say, I'm going to go with you on whatever adventure you're going to take, and I'll facilitate and help along the way. So it's kind of a full circle, you know, in choosing a partner. In addition, one of my great assets and VIPs on the Arctic Alchemy trip, a guy by the name of Lance McKay, who is, I call him our Swiss Army knife of the adventure. He had everything planned and detailed, sort of a backroom support guy who is a real hero in the adventure. He said, I'll, you know, go with you wherever you want to go and provide any help. So the three of us just recently got together at the Hotel Bethlehem and hashed it out for about 4 hours and sort of, you know, put the legs or fleshed out the new adventure together. So
you're tuned to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm Charles James, talking with beer historian Chris Bowen about Sagas of the Iron Horn and his recent film Arctic Alchemy. We'll be back with more after this.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
We're back here on Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm Charles James, talking with Chris Bowen, beer historian, about Sagas of the Iron Horn. And you talked about some of the people that are joining you on this coming adventure coming up in 2016. Well, you presented part of this at the Lehigh Valley Beer Week at the Bethlehem Brew Works and talked at that time a little bit about how the process of beer making for the Vikings was a little bit different, and maybe part of that was due to their what they had access to, or maybe what brewing methods were back then. But they didn't apparently use hops so much.
Yeah, in my research on how Vikings brewed beer and what was important to them, or what was, you know, customary at the time, we all know beer today as, you know, since about the 16th century, beer is made of four ingredients: water, barley, hops, and yeast. But prior to that, there was a beverage for thousands of years, going all the way back to the Egyptians, called gruit, G-R-U-I-T. And that was beer made without hops, but sometimes local ingredients like different plants and herbs and spices. So it's kind of an ancient beer style that's really, you know, takes place in history and takes precedence in history much longer than brewing with hops. But not a lot of people know that today, and beer is mostly made with hops. But yeah, so the discovery of a gruit and not only brewing gruit ales, but also discovering some of the bizarre ingredients and how the Vikings used to use these different ingredients, and some of them even being poisonous in some ways. You know, I'll just name a few: bog myrtle, meadow sweet, angelica, nightshade, henbane, yarrow, and heather. There's a few beers that are made today that are made from heather. That's a very common ingredient. You know, heather obviously grows in the highlands of Scotland, you know, grows all over. But some of these other herbs added not only a medicinal healing sort of property to beer, but in some cases, as I've discovered in my, you know, my research, is that they had some psychotropic, maybe psychotic, you know, additives that made the Vikings maybe a little crazier for raids and what we call berserkers, or what researchers have determined that the Vikings were fighting in a fury of in a different state, in an altered state. A lot of these ingredients led to those altered states, and a lot of them were poisonous, and they maybe didn't know about them. But these are the kinds of things that we're going to be uncovering in this film, in this series. Some of the alternative ingredients that are no longer brewed today.
Will some of those go into your recipe?
Well, we're going to see. I have plenty of people raising their hands and saying, "Oh, I'll try that." Beer making is both an art and a science, and caution needs to be made, especially whenever you're mixing, poisonous materials or potentially poisonous materials in those sort of things. But we're gonna break it down and look at what history tells us, really. And that's my work with five different archaeologists, two from Northern Ireland and three from mainland Scotland, and including Orkney. These people have been digging these breweries, archaeologically digging these breweries, and discovering the recipes. I'm simply there to discover them for myself, and also to shed light on some of the things that a beverage that we take for granted and that's very popular right now has some really serious historical roots, and some of them are unknown to most people today.
So, did some of their technique and approach even kind of evolve into what British ales became?
Well, certainly most British and Scottish people actually have almost DNA from the Vikings. They had a huge impact, for 4.5 centuries through the first raids at Holy Island in 793 to, modern-day Orkney, where most of the towns and streets and names are of Scandinavian origin. So too goes the brewing. Beer follows history, and beer is integral, weaving through time and space, and absolutely.
You mentioned, as a beer historian, you're doing something locally, and mm-hmm. maybe you could talk a little bit about what's happening in celebration of the 275th anniversary, and what you're bringing to that as a beer historian.
Yeah, well, I have all these, different ideas of making films and telling the history. And the history actually, for me, started right here in Bethlehem, a local resident. And 2016 is the 250th anniversary. Some of my early early interest in brewing history came right from Main Street in Bethlehem, where I was asked to portray the life and times of Johann Sebastian Gundi, who was brought here by the Moravian elders from Germany to be the brewer of Bethlehem in 1803. So during different festivals and different events throughout the year in the city of Bethlehem, I dress up in early 19th century garb and stand over a boiling pot and recreate and bring back these old recipes that no one really is brewing today, and doing it in a sort of an authentic manner. 2016's 275th anniversary. Just 2 weeks ago, I launched as a guest curator on Main Street. Bethlehem Brewed and Distilled is a 275-year history of exactly what was brewed in Bethlehem, where all the breweries were located, both on the north and the south side of the city. All the old tales of what they brewed and how they brewed them, what they distilled. So it's a sort of a complete compendium of Bethlehem brewing history for the last 275 years.
And you discovered a gap somewhere in their beer history. You kind of filled that gap, right?
Yeah. Bethlehem, started in 1741. Count von Zinzendorf, declared Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. It's a famous story. It's on the plaque in Bethlehem. And then, we had many robust breweries. We had three very large breweries, one of them located not too far from WDIY here in South Bethlehem, which was the South Bethlehem Brewing Company. It ended brewing in 1954. So Bethlehem had been brewing, you know, for nearly 200 years, and then economics and consolidation in the big brewing industry bought out a lot of those breweries. They stopped brewing in 1954. For the first time, in our brewing history, we had a sort of a no beer was brewed in Bethlehem. And from 1954 until 1998, actually April 15th, 1998, when the Fegley family moved to Broad and Main Street and opened the Bethlehem Brew Works, it was a 44-year gap of brewing history in Bethlehem. And we're lucky today because we have award-winning beers being brewed back in Bethlehem after that gap.
I think you mentioned also to me that you were given some keys to help discover some ancient recipes.
I had been portraying Gundy and sweating it out in the fields of the Blueberry Festival, and brewing like a 19th century brewer. In the Blueberry Festival is held in July, mid July, and in period clothing, it's usually 90 something degrees. Burning a cord of firewood over an open fire and, telling the story is a disastrous thing to work with. But I was always told that for years and years that there were no records of Bethlehem as far as brewing records. And that, being a curator recently for this exhibit, they said, look in our archives, see what we have. And within about 20 minutes, I found all kinds of records from the early 1820s, which Gundy was brewing, and they're there or on display now.
And so you are also presenting a beer monthly, is that right, during a presentation?
Yeah, the exhibit called Bethlehem Brewed and Distilled, I'm going to be doing a monthly exhibit monthly event where, I'll be taking bits and pieces out of that 275-year timeline, brewing recipes that are accurate to that period, and then telling the stories that was happening at the period, from early colonial brewing to the Industrial Revolution to Prohibition to modern day.
And you mentioned as well that you'll be doing some collaboration with the Brew Works with one of those historic recipes.
Yes. In conjunction with the 275th anniversary, I was approached by the committee to brew a beer. It would probably be a special beer, Cork and Cage, from an early recipe from Bethlehem, maybe in a presentation box. A great gift, a great takeaway for the city of Bethlehem. It's a real honor to be asked to do that, to collaborate, and really be a long-term part of Bethlehem brewing history.
As we close, will the film Arctic Alchemy be available in the near future at festivals or otherwise?
Yeah, we just previewed at the Southside Film Festival. I just got a copy of the digital files, so we're going to be creating DVDs and a DVD box in a sort of traditional manner, which will be available at the Bethlehem Brew Works, McCarthy's, Hotel Bethlehem, Keystone Homebrew Supply, which is on the south side, and maybe even in the lobby of WDIY. So they'll be available to the public in a traditional sense. We're just sort of sizing up in the modern age how to do a digital download, whether it's on Amazon or some other format.
Chris Bowen, beer historian, thanks for being my guest on Lehigh Valley Art Salon here on WDIY.
Thank you, Charles.